Turn to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We'll begin reading. We're going to start reading in verse 1 and read all the way through verse 17. We're going to actually focus mostly on verse 12 today, but we'll start there so we get everything in context. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now let me just stop right there real quick and notice what it says about that new man. That new man, that which is what we're supposed to put on as a Christian, is renewed in knowledge. Now the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Peter that we're to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But you know, when you stop learning the Bible, you run the risk of falling backwards, going back to the old habits and ways. We're supposed to keep learning. That new man is renewed in knowledge. That's why we're supposed to look at the. We're supposed to have the Word of God in our hearts daily. That's why in Psalm 119, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." So just something to think about. You never stop learning the Word of God. But let's go on and read. He says, "Where there is neither," verse 11, "where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Now, Father, we do thank You for the Word of God. And again, I ask You to help us to learn and grow. Lord, I just pray that You would bless each one with understanding. Lord, help us to examine our hearts and examine ourselves and our attitudes and all the things that go into making up the decisions we make in our life. Lord, just pray that You'd help us to get those things aligned where they need to be. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I told you that I was going to focus mainly on verse 12 here, and I am. Obviously, there are things in this whole thing is a unit. And there are multiple commands there of things that we're supposed to do. I mean, you look at, it says, seek those things. Set your affection on things above. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. And put off all these things. And lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and to put on the new man, which is renewed knowledge after the image of him that created him. He says, put on, therefore. And then He gives a list of things to do, and he says, put on charity. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, when we look at that passage of Scripture there, we see that. We see a lot of things we're supposed to do or not do. But in the midst of this here, he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, when we look at the Word of God, we read a lot of times that word bowels. It's a different way of speaking that than we speak here. In the book of 1 Corinthians, it's mentioned there. We'll talk about that in a moment. But or 2 Corinthians, I believe it is. 2 Corinthians, rather, is where it talks about it. And but here he talks about that. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. We're supposed to put off the old man, put on the new man. And he says, put on something else here. He says, put on, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. There's that picture right there, being the beloved of God, because we're God's beloved. There's certain things we ought to put on. And then he uses the word bowels. Now, when we think of bowels, we think of guts. We think of innards. All right? It's not a very flattering term when we think of bowels, all right, around here. So we think that being the idea, but that's because our language has changed over time. All right? The bowels, when it talks about here, it has to do with the emotions that you have. It has to do with the emotional side of your life. And this is the thing about it where a lot of people, you know, we have a culture that is pretty much ruled by emotion. Right? And yet, emotions are given to us by God. But when we talk about this, you know, when we look at this, we would say, you know, the way it came out and the way it came to be, you still have remnants in our thing, we would say, I have a gut feeling. I feel it in my gut, right? Or I've got butterflies in my stomach. All right? That's because the seat, at least when the Bible was written in those times, the actual focus was it's the gut that is actually influenced by your emotional state. And that's where we got that idea of that. Whereas now we've changed it over to the heart. Whereas biblically, the heart is more the center of conviction. Not necessarily, and conviction and specifically love. And not the emotional sort of love, but the actual choice to love. It's a conviction in that regard. Well, we've changed it all around. We've got Valentine's, we've got everything else, and everything's a matter of the heart, right? And we talk about matters of the heart and this and that. And we've made love nothing more than emotion. And there is an emotional aspect to that, but that's what he's talking about. But I want you to notice what he's saying here. In the midst of all these things he's telling us to do, he's also telling us something about our feelings. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In other words, God is telling you, change the way you feel. A lot of times, we get caught up in our emotions, and I can't help it.
this is just the way I feel. And that's a powerful thing. I understand that. But you know, the wonderful thing about being a child of God, God is telling us we actually have it in our power to change, by His grace, the way we feel about things. That would allow us to do such things as forgive people that did wrong. And the truth is, so many times, and I can tell you people that I've counseled with, some that you would know by name, and some of you would know them by name, and I've talked to people, and we've watched some people walk away, and I've watched people walk away from a vibrant Christian life and end up in jail simply because of how they feel. And it's a tragedy. And a lot of times we feel like we're slave to our emotions, but we don't have to be. We have that. It's that which is inside of us, what we hold on to. And we have the ability to change the way we feel as a child of God. We have the ability to see things from a different perspective than our own. That's what we're told at the beginning. He said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So there's a different perspective. There's a different basis for what we feel and how we feel about things. We see things differently. I mentioned the book of 2 Corinthians. If you want to turn over there with me real quick to chapter 6. He says this in chapter 6 in verse 1. He's talking to the Apostle Paul, and God through the Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. And he says in verse 1, he says, we then as workers together with him beseech ye also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee and in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And he says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. In other words, we're not the ones that are restricting you. We're not the ones that are holding you back. It's your own emotions, your own feelings. It's your own bowels, if you will, that which is inside you, that which you're holding on, the aspect, the way you see things, and why you see things, that which has become the basis for your emotions, that is what's holding you back. He said it doesn't matter. If you look at that long list of things there that he's talking about there, look at what he says. He says, patience in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. We all have those. We all have times where we have to endure. We all have times where we're afflicted. We all have times where we have necessities that we be concerned about. We all have times when we're in distress. We all have in this case, he says, in stripes, that means being beat. In imprisonments. In tumults. That's a big uproar. In labors. In watchings and fastings. Having to wait and having to do without. All of these things impact our emotions, don't they? When trouble comes, what do people do? Because they feel a certain way, they refuse to believe God. Because they're looking at the circumstance, the situation right in front of them. And in this day and age, we spent a good while talking over there about all the crazy things that are going on in the world, didn't we? There's a lot of things that could be distressing. There are a lot of things that... But none of these things have the power in and of themselves to cause us to have to be controlled by our emotions to the point to where those things will lead us astray and lead us to ungodliness, lead us to unbelief. They don't have the power to do that because we have, as it says in our text, it says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, forbearing, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I mean, we have so many things that go on in this world that may distress us, that may not be things at large. They may be things in our own family. They may be things that are happening to us. People get bad. We talked about this young man that we asked prayer for. He's been the son of a pastor. His father's a pastor for years and years and years, and he's been in church all his life, and he's. You'd think, he'd be the poster child for being, a pastor's son, being right and all that type of stuff like that. But now he's sitting here after all of this, and here he is. He's fighting a disease that literally is going to completely change his life. Some of us have had incidences like that, or may yet have them. And they can impact your emotions. But it's an amazing thing that you and I... Now, here's the thing about when we talk about liberty in Christ. The difference between a lost person and a saved person when it comes to the dynamics of salvation. Once a person is saved, they're set free from sin, aren't they? That doesn't mean it's impossible for you to sin. You can still choose to sin, right? But unlike the lost, who can do nothing but sin because nothing they do is based on faith, obviously. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, everything. You and I can choose not to sin. That's freedom. Amen. We're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Right? Amen. And that's what we're supposed to be. But sometimes we understand that what messes us up isn't the knowledge that we get to choose whether we do right or wrong in that regard, but we miss this point. You get to choose how you feel. I preached a message several years ago. Probably ought to dust it off and preach it again. It was called Brute Beasts. And the Bible talks about people acting like brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. And people acting like brute beasts. And the thing about it is, humanity has devolved to such a point as far as righteousness goes, that we make excuses for people to act like beasts, like animals. Amen. We make excuses for them. And people have gotten to that point. And we have a culture that is ruled by its emotions, ruled by its feelings, ruled by those things. And we see it all the time. You look at the wrong they do. We're in a culture where you actually have people who think the most heinous thing you could do is kick a dog. And the same people, without batting an eye, will stand up and advocate for the wholesale slaughter of unborn children. Amen. Because why? They have got their feelings bound up in their so-called compassion for a dumb animal. And I'm not saying mistreat your animals. The Bible says the righteous regardeth the life of his beast. If you have an animal, you ought to take care of it. But it's not a person. It's an animal, isn't it? And it's an animal because we know what animals are. Animals are animals. They're fun. Sometimes they're not so fun.
Amen.
Right? And they're cute, and sometimes they're not so cute. And they serve a purpose. But they act like animals because they're animals. I mean, I've told you before, we've talked about this before. You look at the way people act and everything. You know, I actually did this with my dog. I sat there and we talk about dogs doing this, and I was just wanting to see what would happen and everything like that. Because dogs, they get to associating certain words, right? If you say to one of my dogs, outside, I have one dog that's inside. I say outside, she knows what you mean. If I say the word eat, they know what you mean. All right? They know what you mean. But you get up there and you get that little dog and you say all these words, that little dog, oh, I love you and all this type of stuff. And that's complete gibberish to them. It is. I went up to a dog one time, and I went up to one of my dogs, and I said, you're just disgusting, and tails wagging, and I was like, you know, you're ugly, and they're just happy and go lucky and everything like that. And the same dog, minutes later, I said, I love you, and she. Dog doesn't know, does it? It's entirely emotion based. It's based on feelings. Feelings are based upon the feedback it gets, what it's feeling at a moment, what it's getting there, and what it's been trained. And we train ourselves to act like animals sometimes. But we don't have to. When we talk about being free as a Christian, that's one of the most wonderful things about being a Christian, is having the freedom. The freedom to choose to be kind to somebody, even though they've been unkind to us. The freedom to forgive somebody. The freedom to love even people that don't love us. It's kind of like behaving the way God does, isn't it?
Amen.
That's the liberty we have. We're the elect of God, holy and beloved, and we have the ability to take this type of life and put it on. Just as we're to put off things like, there are things we're to mortify, put to death, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, and put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. That desire to say ugly and unkind things or profane things or whatever it may be. Those things. We can put off those things. Put them aside. Put them off. And then we can put on vows of what? Mercies and kindness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Long-suffering. You know, being long-suffering means to suffer long. Charity suffereth long and is kind, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But the simple fact is, when we talk about long-suffering, that just means putting up with people. Not quitting on them. Not giving up. You know, we sent out the flyers and the little mailers out there. You know, the first thing we got was a woman who called and said, "Don't ever send me anything again." You know, so, you know, I don't know. I guess we just keep sending her stuff and, you know, she'd get mad and everything like that and say, "Oops, sorry." I don't know what to do about that. Don't want to, I mean, you know, it's every door direct mail, so it's going to be kind of hard to weed everything out, everybody who doesn't want to get it. But, you know, just, and think about that. Did she call every other flyer thing, advertisement she got in the mail, did she call them and say, "I don't ever send me anything"? I bet she didn't. I bet she just said, "Okay, I don't like this, throw it away." But, you know, something got to her, didn't it? Maybe she's under conviction. But a seed was planted. But, you know, even when people are ugly or unkind, we can be long-suffering. We can make that choice to be long-suffering. I mean, I remember preaching in a nursing home and had people there. One day I sat there and went out and talked to, and he was over there and he had tears coming down his eyes, and I thought, well, maybe the Lord's touching his heart over there, and I think he was just mad because he didn't want to be there. And I went over and talked to him. I shared the gospel with him, and I asked him. I said, "Would you like to trust Christ your Savior?" And he screamed at me and said, "No," and cursed me out and everything. That wasn't a very fun thing that happened. But you know, about 2 months later, they would wheel him in there every Saturday when we'd go in there. They would wheel him in there. And I saw him over there another time, and he was crying again. So I went and talked to him again. I shared the gospel. I said, "Would you like to trust Christ your Savior?" And he shook his head and said, "Yes." Amen. Yep. And we laid him through the prayer. He died 2 days later. And, you know, it's just amazing when you see something like that happen. But he knew his time was short, and he made a profession of faith, and praise the Lord for that. But, you know, first time I saw him, he had tears coming down his eyes, and it was ugly. And, you know, I could tell a lot of stories about people like that. But there's a lot, you know, I'm glad... people were long-suffering with me, because before I got saved, I was pretty ugly to Christians. But, you know, those people didn't respond. There were people that were Christians before me who I cursed out, or who I was unkind or ugly to, or everything like that. They didn't respond to me based upon the way I made them feel in the moment. They responded to me based upon the fact that they had set their affections on things above, and there were things that were more important than a little bit of trouble or discomfort down here. There was something eternal about it, and they set their affection on things above instead of things on the earth. Most of our feelings are based upon how we feel in relation to ourselves, aren't they? Not based upon how things are related to God. But isn't that amazing that you and I get the ability to choose? We're going to feel certain ways. It's not pleasant to be abused or mocked or anything like that. It's not pleasant, but we have the ability to choose. That's liberty. That's freedom. And the Bible tells us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Think about that. We have the ability to remain free and not be influenced just by our emotions. Now, don't get me wrong. God gave us our emotions. But there's a right way to use them and a wrong way to use them, isn't it? Just like everything else. There's godly music and ungodly music, right? Alright, there's a right way to use money, a wrong way to use money, right? There's a right way to make money, a wrong way to make money, isn't it? I mean, we go down the whole list, can't we? But it's the same with the way we feel and the emotions that we have. And the one thing about it is that we have to understand is that we have greater freedom. By the way, having greater freedom With freedom comes what? Responsibilities. So we not only have a greater liberty, but we have a greater responsibility too, don't we? To a lost and dying world. And so it matters how we behave. It matters how we act. And I look at that and I say, wow, this is something that God's given me, and look, I'm made out of the same chunk of dirt as everybody else. There are times when I might get offended when somebody says something, but I have the ability to check myself and say, you know what? No. I don't have to act that way. I don't have to render cursing for cursing and railing for railing. I can contrarywise be a blessing. I have the freedom to do that. Most of the world today is talking about freedom. You know, the idea of the American dream was that you were free to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, right? You were free to do that. You were free to pursue it. Now they've turned that around as if I'm guaranteed to have it. And that's not the same at all. That's not the same at all. If you just, we've gotten to a point to where in our culture that the culture, if we're not careful, impacts the churches. And we see it all the time, don't we? And this is an area where the culture has impacted churches. Because churches are, you have churches, you have whole groups of people whose entire mode of worship is based upon emotion. And I'm not against emotion in church. I love to come to church. I love to be in church. I love to preach the Word of God. I like to hear preaching. I would rather go to church than any other place. That's just me. All right? But that's right. That's good. And that's something that ought to be. To be with God's people, that's a good thing. Fellowship between God's people is a good thing. Hearing the Word of God is a good thing. Singing the praises of God is a good thing. It's completely okay for you to feel. But if that's all there is, something's wrong. All the time when we think of liberty, we think of freedom, we think of our ability, we often think about that in terms of just the choice of whether to sin or whether not to sin. But so often the choice to sin is made because of the way we feel. Right? Our emotions get the best of us. Isn't that what happens? I mean, anybody ever got angry and said something they shouldn't have said and you knew it was wrong when you said it, but you just, there you go. And the reason we feel so bad about it after it happens is because we know in our heart not just that we should have made a better choice, but that we could have made a better choice. And it's a matter of growing. It's a matter of, this is the whole point. But this is the point that we need to understand. We have to get to the point to where we believe what God says. Do you believe what the Bible says? That you have the choice to put off that which is bad and put on that which is good? Not just an academic exercise, but the actual believing that, hey, I actually have the freedom to do this. This is mine. I can accomplish this through Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Alright? I can do this through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is part of my birthright. This is part of my salvation. And that I can indeed change. I can choose. And sadly, a lot of people, when it comes to their Christian life, they're like the person that we were talking about earlier that knows all about salvation but has never experienced it. Devil likes to do that to people, doesn't he? He don't mind if people know. He just doesn't want them to believe. And he does the same thing. You know, the Bible says we're to be sober, be vigilant. What? Why? Because our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished by your accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, you're not alone. But there's another place where it talks about us not being ignorant of Satan's devices. You know, if you're saved, there's nothing the devil can do about that. But if he can get you to not believe another part of God's word, then guess what? You suffer. The cause of Christ suffers. But it doesn't have to be that way. You know, we all have to grow in grace. We all have to learn. We have to grow. We're taught. We start off as babes, don't we? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And at some point, we graduate, or supposed to graduate, from milk to strong meat. Right? And we learn and we grow. But you know, that is based upon the one thing about it is we need to understand that when it comes to these things that we're talking about, these are things that we now have the liberty to choose. Jesus said to his disciples in another place, he said, behold, I give you, it's in the book of Luke, and I want to quote it exactly. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I just thought about this as I was preaching. But you remember when he sent the disciples out two by two? And he said, let's see if I can find that passage I'm looking at, where I'm looking at in the book of Luke. Let's see. I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Trying to remember exactly where that passage is. Somebody help me out if you can. But I'm trying to remember exactly what chapter and verse that is. Let's see. Huh? I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19. Okay, I kept going past it. Luke chapter 10. Okay, yeah, there we go. Let's see if I can. All right, in verse 17, he said, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as a lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, a little bit of a different context there, but, you know, God told them, he said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That means they had the power to go against those things that the devil would throw at them and be victorious, right? They had a power, authority over unclean spirits and sicknesses and diseases that he gave, and they came back rejoicing because of it. All right? And he told them that. Well, God's told us that we have power here, hasn't he? He's told us we have power
to choose. In Romans, he told us we had power to choose whether to yield ourselves to righteousness or unrighteousness, whether to yield ourselves to the Spirit or to the flesh, right? And likewise here, he's telling us, hey, you're God's children. Here's what you need to put off. Here's what you need to put on. And God doesn't give a command that we're unable to perform. So I just want you to think about that. Isn't it an amazing thing to be a child of God? But boy, I tell you what, sometimes what straightens us, what restricts us, what gets in the way is just our own, the way we feel about things. What's the answer? By God's grace, change your perspective. Look at things from God's perspective and change the way you feel. By the way, it works. Because God knows who we are. I remember one time I was with my dad and we went into a place. Of course, I'm not, I grew up in a wicked home and I'm not proud of the place we were. But I walked in there and there was this one woman that I knew who had gotten involved with this guy that was a adulterer. And I knew this woman. She was a friend of mine. And I always felt bad for her because of the type of guy he was. And we got in there and saw her over in the corner crying. And we asked what was wrong with her. And the woman that come over to wait on me and my dad said, well, she lost her husband. And I took lost based upon what I knew about him as he left her. And so I began to have some choice words about the man. And then the lady stopped and she said, no, he died. My feelings changed in an instant. Because you see, there's a big difference in that. What changed my feelings? It was my perspective of the situation, wasn't it? I went from having ugly words to a bunch of apologies and feeling like a fool. Being like an idiot because I had said those things and everything, but because I knew what kind of guy he was. And I had and this person, like I said, she was a friend of mine, and she had talked to me many times about the things he'd done, and I told her, I don't know why you're with him. You know, but she stayed with him and everything, and one day she's crying because she loved the man, and she stayed with him in spite of everything he'd done, but I was upset about him. I figured she lost him. I figured he'd left her already, finally. And run off with another woman. Then I found out he died. Totally different thing. My perspective changed, so therefore my feelings changed. I went from feelings of indignation to feelings of foolishness and embarrassment and shame. What changed them? Simply my perspective. And that's why God puts us in there. God gives us this ability to look at things from a heavenly aspect so we can change our perspective. And by able to do that, we can change the way we feel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. And I know many times this seems so complicated to us, but it's really not as complicated as we make it out to be. Father, I just pray you'd help us first of all to believe your word. To believe that we can indeed change into what you want us to be, that we can become the people that you intended us to be. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us in this regard especially, to be able to look at things and set our affections on things above, see things from a heavenly perspective, see things through your eyes, not through our own. See things in relation to you, to our Savior, and to the truth.
truth of the way this world truly is, not just in relation to ourselves, those we care about here. Lord, help us to see so that we might make the right choices and choose godly responses and choose our emotions in a godly manner. Feel about things the way we ought to feel. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.